handle this. So the statement Boker Tishma Kuli Boker Eroch Lecheva Atzapeh, if we would look at it in the as the parallels, good evening. If we would look at it in the parallels, it's in the morning. You hear. How do they? Let's hear a good translation.
Where are we?
5:2.
5:2. Give ear to my speech, O Lord. Consider my utterance.
Keep going. 5:3.
Heed the sound of my cry.
Heed the sound of my cry.
My King and God.
Right.
For I pray to you.
Right.
Hear my voice, O Lord, at daybreak.
Now stop. Hear my voice, O Lord, at daybreak. Right. Adonai Boker Tishma Koli. Go ahead.
At daybreak, I plead before you and wait.
So, both are referring to the same point, right? Hear my voice at daybreak. I
plead before you.
Right. And wait. So the first one says, listen. The second one says,
I'm pleading.
So the Shav'i, they say that the word Tishma Koli, where is Tishma Koli? He says, Adonai Boker Tishma Koli. In the second half, it says, Boker something. So, Eiroch Lecha, it's like, hear my voice. This is I plead. Like, you know, hear my voice. The other one is saying, it's the flip side. And then the second part is, I wait. But if you say it as, I hear my voice, and the second one is, I prepare, well, when he's saying, hear my voice, it's the next stage. He prepares himself, in he's, so to speak, getting himself, preparation of some sort could mean a... getting himself in the right frame of mind.
It's like you're preparing before you say, okay, open my mouth so that...
Right. But over here, the preparation, the Eroch Lecha, is he's preparing himself before God. The preparation could be a meditation of a sort. A sort of getting yourself in the right frame of mind. It's like you get up and you pray and you get yourself in the right frame of mind. When you pray or whenever you're going to communicate with God, you sort of got, any time that you pray, sort of got to get yourself in the right frame of mind. So I think that's what he's saying. I pray to you. I prepare myself, getting himself in the right frame of mind. And then after getting himself in the right frame of mind, what does he do? He waits. So what is he waiting for? Before you walked in, we said, waiting for what? He's not waiting for the prayer to be answered, because before, Jack and Alfred, before you came in, we said, you ever pray to God and say, okay, I'm waiting? Go. Waiting for what? So I said, no, waiting over here is waiting for God to start communicating with him. And therefore, we're talking about a prophet is talking over here. And he's telling you how, when he prays, that's how he prays. He's giving you, the listener, an insight into how his own prayer, how he starts it. Well, he's telling you how he starts his day, right? And five, he's telling you how he starts his day, which is very interesting. You know, this is written, according to us, 2,500 years ago. And the Navi is telling you, I start my day by praying to God. I call to you, I cry to you. He asks God to listen to him. Then he gets himself in the right frame of mind, and then he waits. And when he's waiting for God to communicate. Yeah, really answer back. He's a prophet. It must be an unbelievably strange thing, right? You know, you're waiting, which, by the way, when you wait, what does that mean? Sometimes...
That means every day he's getting prophecy.
Sometimes there's no answer.
Right.
I wait.
No,
it means some. Does it mean every time he waits something happens? Right. Maybe...
No, that's why it says I wait.
You know, maybe, I don't know, we're guessing now, but it will be a little imaginative. You know, maybe there are some days he waits and he just continues with his day. Now, well then again, maybe he's a Navi who's, you know, on a very special level and he has tremendous amount of communication. I have no idea. But one thing is for sure, he may or may not get reply because he waits. It doesn't happen right away. When you're waiting, it means he waits. He's now hoping, you know, I guess for the Navi, he's hoping for God to communicate with him. All right? That's just a side point. These are all introductory things to keep you busy for 2 minutes, but it's an interesting point. Back to what we're saying. So he tells God that he's not like these people who were around him, these very evil people, and then the next one is more, he's very, very, very ill, extremely ill.
What is Psalm 5?
On the verge of death. No, the next one, 6.
Okay.
And he's crying all the time, his bed is, he's swimming in his tears, and it's just a very bad situation. And in the 7th Mizmor, what we said last week, to refresh your memory, is that he is on trial, and he tells God, if I'm guilty, let them do what they want to do, tear me to pieces. And he describes them as, you know, he tells God to just to be his judge and vindicate him. And to, in verse 10, Yigmor Nara Reshaim, to finish off with the evil of the Reshaim, to wipe them out. And what else? And then in 17, he says, let his actions go back on his head, let it all boomerang on him, let him let his violence come back on his own head. In other words, let his actions work for so that he in yeah. The bor kara ve'yachterehu, he digs a pit, right? Ve'yipol b'shachat yifal, and he falls in the pit that he made. So that's again, he digs a pit to snare people, to catch people, and let him fall into his own trap.
What does shigayon mean?
Oh, we're going to talk about it. It's a very good question. We're going to through the course of. If you guys, if there was any continuity in this, I would have such a nice thing to tell you about Shigayon and another super scripture to give you an insight into how super scriptures work. One of the very, very special ones in this group of Mizmorim is Shigayon. If you'll notice in your translations, it says Shigayon, because they have absolutely no idea what it means. So whenever they don't know what anything means, they write Shigayon. They transliterate it because they're lost. But we feel we're right on target, and we know exactly what it is. So it's a good question. I'm going to show you. Maybe we'll try and. Should we try and go very fast? Let's try and go very fast tonight. We're a small group. There's 6 people here. Let's go like 100 miles an hour for the next hour and 5 minutes. What do you say? I'm just going to tell you a lot of information and give you the whole thing in one shot. Takes 6-7 hours normally.
Keeps on, right?
Yeah. So we'll go real quick.
Go.
We said last week, this is important for you to know now, that there was an important literary envelope in 6, 7, and 8. The literary envelope was that the closing words of 7 are, Ode Adonai Kitzikova Azamira Shem Adonai Elyon. I will praise God for his righteousness, and I will sing the name Yudkevavke Elyon. Elyon meaning the word on high. It's God's name as Elyon. We said that when you get to the 8th Mizmor, he opens up with Adonai Adonenu Ma'adir Shemcha B'chol Ha'aretz, Hashem, how majestic is your name in all the land. And he closes with Adonai Adonenu Ma'adir Shemcha B'chol Ha'aretz. By the way, you say in your prayer again, you have a couple of things over here. You have Kshiva Kol, right? You have the earlier statement, Hakshiva Kol She'im Akiva Laik Lechet Pala. You also have Yishem Anai Barach Matav Olam V'Zashem Yishem Anai Barach Matav Olam V'Zashem Shab Mo'im Ma'al Shem Anai. Adonai Adinu Ma'adir Shemcha, right? Is that right? Right. So the Adonai Adinu Ma'adir Shemcha B'chol Ha'aretz comes out of 8 from its opening and closing statements, meaning it forms once again what we call, for purposes of just explaining it to the best I can, a literary envelope, a literary enclosure. You say something, Odeh Adonai B'chol. Is it that door? Could it be? Maybe there's. That means they're coming. You better. Sorry. And then Adonai 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 Yishim Chai B'chol Ha'aretz, opening and closing. And then in 9, Odeh Adonai B'chol Lebi Asapirah Kol Nifloatecha. I told you that 9 and 10 is an acrostic, and I explained to you, I hope, in the acrostic. Did I explain what an acrostic is? Everybody forgot. An acrostic is an this is an aleph to taf acrostic, meaning that the first letter of each of the verses, or some of the verses, begins with a letter. It's not for us, right? So we can.
Can this be like a covenantal type of mizmor? Because the fact that it's number 8 and the meaning of it is.
8? Yes. 8 is extremely important, but since we haven't spoken about the number 8 too much, and the number 13, and how the covenantal. The covenant is symbolically represented in the Torah and in Nevi'im Yishoni. You see the number 8 being used extensively along with the number 13 to symbolize the covenant. Just for purposes of brevity, we'll come back to it. Yes, the answer is that this is an extremely important mizmor. I did a lot of analysis many years ago on the structure of Tehillim, its mizmorim, the amount of mizmorim, the 150, the books, how many mizmorim are in each book, the verses in each mizmor, the words in each mizmor, the words in each book, and I found out that there's a distinct pattern to it all, and that none of it is random. It's very, very exciting. It's all new material too. That's all, by the way, very exciting. I mean, who says I'm right? But I'm telling you, it's very exciting material. No one's seen it before. I did read to you in the introductory words when we started this a few weeks back, 3 weeks or whatever it was, I told you that there's a Talmudic discussion that says how many verses are in Tehillim, and it's 5,888. And I said, I don't think that's accidental at all. It's all part of the system that they had or were aware of. They were aware of this symbolism, maybe, and they knew it had to fit into a certain number to be discussed. In any event, yes, it is very important. And what 8 is saying is going to be very important, and I want to try and explain the heart of 8, which we spoke about. I just want to show you the rest of the literary envelope. In the letter Aleph, in Mizmor 9, remember it's 9 and 10 that form the acrostic. In Mizmor 9, after the superscription, which is Almut Laben,
where do we see the acrostic? I don't.
I'll show you just the Aleph now, and I'm going to show you the whole acrostic in a few minutes. Just want to get this behind us before I do show you the whole acrostic. In the first letter, starts with an Aleph. You want to see bet? You want to see the rest? Yeah. Okay. Give me a minute on that. But look, deal with the Aleph just for 1 second. Odeyamai bekol lebi. I praise God with all my heart. I'll tell over all your wonders. I'll rejoice and be something happy.
Exult
in you. Now the key words. That's like the word at the very end of 7. See, and then Shemcha. That's like Shem. Only one is third person, one is third. It's the same. He's talking to God over there. So, and then the next word is, and in the other one it's, so, speaking to God. So, in the other one he says, I will sing to the name of Yud-Kevavke Elyon. When he's speaking to God, he says, I will sing your name, Elyon, your name, Yud-Kevavke, right? So that's exactly, that paraphrase is the same. The interesting part of it is that those are the last words of the letter Aleph in the acrostic. The letter Aleph extends over two verses. In other words, verses 2 and 3 form the letter Aleph. To see the Bet, just to make sure you can see it, you see the letter Bet starts in verse 4. And it says Beshu. Hold off on going further with Alfred's question. We're going to get to it in a minute. I just want you to see that therefore the letter has the first two words of the last verse of 7 and the rest of the words at the end. So it sort of forms an envelope on an envelope and an envelope. It takes the last words. You take the last words of 7, the opening words of 8, the closing words of 8, the opening two words of the letter Aleph, and the closing few words of the letter Aleph, and you end up with the same envelope, which is Azamira Shem Adonai, Ode Adonai Kitzikos, Emir Hashem Yud Kevav Kelion, Adonai 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 Usually do not, and this is not seen, and what I just now showed you, no one points it out. Once you see it, you realize, once you see it, in other words, what I'm saying is when I show it to somebody, he goes, oh, the heck is that? That's right there. Is it coincidental, or is there something going on over here? Is there some kind of literary... an intention in the literary structure that's purposeful? In other words, is this accidental or is this on purpose? What do you think the chances are at this point in time, Jack, that it's accidental?
There's not a chance.
Not a chance. Because you don't say, and the way, of course, that I confirm these things when I do my work is I quickly go and look at a concordance, and I look at every Azem et Hashem Elyon. I look at all of the occurrences of everything throughout all of Tanakh, right? When I immediately get the answers and see that I'm in a unique situation. Certainly take the two closing statements in between, etc. Now, we can come back from here, and I'm refreshing your memory with one more thing. I told you in 8 that there is a statement that's made. 8 works very nicely. Things are very bad in 7. End off with him saying he's going to praise God. In 8... he goes outside and says, how majestic is your name? Right? Oh, by the way, I forget to say it, I'm sorry. Jack, when you say it's accidental, that you meant those words, Shemcha, are in there? You didn't even say it with that. I forgot it myself, and I've written about this 2,000 times. I'm going to sing to your name.
Yeah.
Then it says, Yud Kevavke, Ma'adir Shemcha Bechol Ha'aretz. So it's like a response. I'm going to praise the name of God and sing the name Yud Kevavke, Shem. So then he goes, Adonai Adonai, Ma'adir Shemcha. 8 immediately treats...
That's the song, no?
Ah, that's the song. Immediately he starts to sing. Didn't he say he's going to sing? So how does he sing? He goes, Adonai Shem Yud Kevavke Elyon, Adonai Adonai, Ma'adir Shemcha Bechol Ha'aretz. It's a perfect response to his commitment to praise. Yes?
Yeah.
Perfect. Then he says something in between. Then he repeats the words again. Then he comes to the acrostic and says he's going to do it again. We haven't seen how he does it in the latter verses. Okay?
Babies also.
So that's the question. In 8, we told you last week that we understand how wonderful it was when that imagery of the individual seeing the stars at night, the moon, the clear night, that awesome, inspiring moment when he looks up. But we said that there's a statement he makes in the middle of it that doesn't tie in to the rest of it. I furthermore told you that the commentators... I'm a bit of a wise guy when I say this, but it's really the truth. I can't help it. They have absolutely no idea what it means. Oh, I'll listen to what he has to say. But before I listen to what you have to say, I want to go on record to tell you that all of the commentators say many, 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 many statements here, and all of them are inadequate. And the general overall opinion of the modern commentators is that they are inadequate. They don't really have it. They're uncomfortable with it. They just, you know, when you do something, you say, well, I guess this is what it's saying, but you don't really feel like you've got it. That's how they feel. So whether you look at traditional commentators, whether you look at new ones, you don't. We're going to venture an opinion on it that we think is right on target as to the meaning. So I know I'm saying a lot of these, you know, bold comments over here. No one saw this literary envelope. No one saw what the meaning of Mipi Olim. It's considered probably maybe one of the most difficult verses in all of Tehillim, if not anywhere in Tanakh. Extremely difficult. This word, from the mouths of babies and sucklings, you set down the foundations of strength to cause a cessation Lashpit Oyev Umitnakem, the enemy, and the vengeful enemy. Did I say it right? I skipped words anyway. Yisata was Leman Sorecha, because of your enemies, right? I don't know how they translate Sorecha, those who come against
of your foes.
Your foes? And then they say enemies at the end?
It says, from the mouths of infants and sucklings you have founded strength on account of your foes, to put an end to enemy and avenger.
Right, to put an end to enemy and avenger. This is coming out in the middle of nowhere. And this time when he goes, and then he goes and he talks about people. He says, Ma'enosh kitis kerena, who are people that you remember them, and human beings that you take note of them, and you made them a little less than godlike. Like he's, that one people can understand. He looks at this whole thing, he says, who are we that... You know, you got to sort of get a sense of the infinite, you know, when you see that scene at night, and he sort of says, like little microbes, you know, little things in the middle of this. But yeah, truly, you feel a sense of great humility, like, who are these human beings? And you made them a little less than godlike, and they have power over everything. They have so much power. And that's the end of the Mizmor, and then back. Okay? So that's the review. Alfred, you want to venture a guess at it? Why not? No, why not?
Inadequate.
You don't feel...
Well, I tried.
It sounds like the second part with the Ma'enosh Kitzes Kerena.
Yeah.
It's almost saying the same thing.
You mean because talking about babies and human beings, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, but that's very good, except that you're skipping the words of... from the mouths of babies, because you're enemies. What is the tie-in between the two? You have to tie it together. I know that you're right when you say you get a sense of it's all like one pot. That's what you're trying to say. Am I right?
Saying the same thing. It sounds like
right, but in fact, that's like sort of, all due respect, it's inadequate to satisfy those strange words. We want something that when we hear it, it just hits very strongly and it's on target. So, I'd like to read this to you. And now I made some copies. And I'll just take a second to pull them out. Okay. I'll read this to you for a second. Did I ever read this to you before? Since we started? Mizmorim 9 and 10? The opening of the... No. So just listen to this a minute. And just sort of give you a little groundwork of what I'm doing in the Mizmor. I'm reading to you this here from the paper that I wrote on this. Mizmorim 9 and 10 combine to form an Aleph to Taf acrostic. The first of 8 acrostics in Tehillim. By the way, there are 4. Oh, here we go. This is the only one of the 8 that spans 2 mizmorim. The other 7 being contained in 1 mizmor each. Interestingly, there are 4 each in books 1 and 5. By the way, I wrote interestingly because it's the beginning book and the ending book. There's nothing in 2, 3, and 4. So when I said interestingly, I want the reader's attention to be caught. Interestingly enough, it's 4 in the first book and 4 in the last book, and nothing in between. And it's balanced also. And I'm sort of setting the groundwork for the reader to say, it's because I don't hold this accidental at all. And we're going to, through the course of the writing, prove that this 4 and 4 is in fact balanced perfectly on purpose and so on and so forth. It's intentional. It's not random. Interestingly, there are 4 each in books 1 and 5. Some of them are complete, Aleph to Taf, and some are Alfred. It doesn't say that in my paper over here. It says some are missing letters. I put the missing in quotes over here.
Missing a letter, I think, right? Mm-hmm.
It's missing a lot of letters.
Yeah.
In addition, 2 of the 8 acrostics have the letter peh added to the end. See table 1. I don't have. Maybe I do. Yeah. You know what? You can just see that table 1 statement over there. You could pass it around. I only have one more. You look at the table and pass it around just so you could see how it works. there's in book one, there's 9 and 10, 25, 34, and 37. And in book five, 111, 112, back to back, 119 and 145. The two that are missing the pair are 25 and 34. And 25 and 34, now everybody has one in front of them.
You're missing the pair.
Have a pair added to the end. In other words, there's a verse at the end of the acrostic starting with the letter pair. The letter pair addition, you all know it because you all say 25 every single day. So you've said it thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Joe, for sure. And 34, you've also said many, many times because you say it every Shabbat. Right? And the other one, 25, the other one that has the letter is for the men here. Sorry, Raquel. For the men here, they say it every day in the filata. Fine. After Anna, when you sit down and you say the mizmor of in Tahanun. Okay. So you know that because how do you end off 25? For the other line, how does it go? You remember? On target. Exactly right. For those on the machine, Jack was looking. So, put it on my, how does it go? Put there. It's still the quote, Saro Tav. So the other one is, Pudeh Elohim Tisail. How does the other one go?
What number?
34. Exactly. Two podes coming at the end of an acrostic. As Raquel was saying before making a joke, write it down. I'll tell you why these happen if we ever get around to it. And it's important and it's very, very enlightening. I tell you, it's very exciting. And this, by the way, this material is brand new. This all happened in the last few months, these two pairs and how they work and so on and so forth. Just thrilling to know how it all ties in. In any event, that's the story with that. Now, interestingly, there are Rama. In addition, two of the eight acrostics. It is our, by the way, so three of the acrostics of the eight acrostics are complete. 11, 111, 112, and 119. It is our intention in this paper to demonstrate, does everybody know the famous one where there's a missing letter where you should all know it? Nobody knew about 25, even though you've said 25 thousands of times. You know Asher, which is the last one, 145, and it's missing a... I just love to do this. You know why? You say it, that one you say, you said no kidding around 10,000 times. And you go up to guys, they say, what's the missing letter? I don't know, and it's a perfect acrostic.
Count the letters.
No, exactly. But no, that's the point. You wouldn't even think to know that you're reading in a. You knew it's an acrostic. But it's so blatant when you're reading an acrostic. And what I mean to say is, if all your life you read this in English and it was an A to Z acrostic, and Y was missing, and you read it 10,000 times, you would go like this: Why? I always wondered why the Y was missing.
But
you know. No. In English, you'd notice it. That's my point. In English, if it was A to Z and the Z was missing, ask any kid, wasn't the Z? Everybody knows that, you know.
Well, Hebrew was our first language.
That's what I said.
Right.
Of course, what I'm trying to say is, even though it's not your first language, these are the kind of things you should know no matter what for the men, because they read it so many times that it would be interesting to know what that mizmor is saying. That was just a little humor. It would be interesting to know what it's saying. I've never failed to ask a guy, what is that mizmor saying? I'm talking about a guy who's in shul every day all his life, and he's been reading it for 35 years, and you say, what is it? And he goes, what is what? And then you say, it's in Tehillim, and he goes, where? And then you tell him where, and then you tell him the acrostic, and he goes, oh yeah, I know that. And then you tell him which one, he says, I have no idea. And then you tell him, what does it say? He says, something like that. It's interesting. So, it is our intention in this paper to demonstrate that the supposedly missing letters in the acrostic of Mizmorim 9 and 10 are purposeful omissions. Important. They're not missing, because the missing over here is written in quotes. The supposedly missing letters in the acrostic of Mizmorim 9 and 10 are purposeful omissions. When properly understood, the omissions shed much light on the meaning of these mizmurim as well as that of surrounding mizmurim. This is, as we was pointed out in our study of Mizmor 37, where the missing letter of the acrostic conveyed a key message illuminating the Mizmor. In a coming study, we plan to show the same for the missing letter in the acrostic of Mizmor 145. Apparently, the prophetic writer of Tehillim used acrostics with missing letters as a sophisticated literary device to facilitate transmittal of his message. Did you get that, Alfred? Or should I repeat that one? Apparently, he used it as a sophisticated literary device to transmit his message. Everyone knows the alphabet, and the absence of a letter captures the reader's attention and prompts one to reflect upon what the explanation may be. You're reading A, B, C, D, E, F, G, K, L, N, M, N, and you go, hey, what's going on? The interesting thing is that the scholars all say they all catch it, and the traditional commentators, of course, catch it, and of course, a lot of people catch it, but you know what their answer is, by and large? It's a mistake in transmission. It's not transmitting a message, it's a mistaken transmission through the time, because when someone was copying, he skipped it. It fell out. Huh?
Can't skip it. He couldn't have skipped it.
That one he couldn't skip, alphabet. Right? Because that's the alphabet.
That's the alphabet.
Very good, Alfred.
You would
excellent statement. Do you hear what he says?
Yes.
If you're going to make a mistake somewhere, why are there so many mistakes in the alphabet? If anything, Alfred is saying like this, I could understand mistakes here and there, but this one is the one, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Well, you remember.
Everybody knows. So the guy writes A, B, C, D, E, F. He skipped the H. He missed it. He doesn't like that. He's annoyed with their answer. And so am I. So am I annoyed with their answer, because their answer isn't sufficient. That's why we say, of course, there is nothing missing. And of course, no one ever said what we're saying here. Ever. Nobody says that these are purposeful omissions. Anywhere, not modern scholars or traditional. By the way, I'm being a wise guy. I know that when I'm going to explain this to you, this is the first time that I'm presenting the material from the paper on 9 and 10. So I'm having a bit of a good time. The reason I'm having a bit of a good time is because you have to remember that I'm going to tell you something that nobody said in the last couple of thousand years. And I'm letting you know that everybody says it's either mistakes, but I like Alfred's annoying comment. Yeah. For the tape, everybody, Alfred's making a face. Annoying face. And the other one is that I want to annoy you folks a little bit by telling you that, so that you should be very critical. I'm not doing it because I'm being a wise guy. I'm being a wise guy because what I really want is this. You got a lot of damn nerve to think that you're going to tell us something that hasn't been said for the last couple of thousand years, and that thousands of people have looked at, and tens of thousands have been written about a million times, and now you're going to tell us that you know what the story is and that they're purposeful omissions and has nothing to do with transmission. It's a lot of nerve, right?
Yes, I don't think it'll be the first time.
Huh?
I don't think it would be the first time.
He's been in class before. So I want to annoy you a lot so that when I say it to you, it'll either do one of two things. You'll fight me, Chazak
u'Baruch. Your mouth will drop out of your jaw.
Right. Or you'll say, I can't believe it. Of course, I'm hoping you're going to do the second thing, but time will tell. Okay.
Do you think it was written for the common man? Because when this was written, people didn't know how to read.
Well, I think that it was meant for the person who knows. Let me answer it to you this way. Rather than say common man, it was written to the person who understands the text, whoever that was. It certainly was written to all the leadership. It certainly was written to all the people. Certainly it was written for all of them.
A selected few.
Right. It certainly was for them. And in today's times, a lot more people, not only today, and it's already been a long time that most of the people are literate, and most of the people are educated, and most of the average guy who comes out of high school knows more than lots of people knew all their lives. So in any event, in any event, I'm only doing it for a little bit of humor and a little bit of, you know, being a wise guy. I want to get your attention. You know how it was omitted on purpose? It catches the reader's attention. I want to sort of get your, want to get you a little annoyed, and let's see what you comment on it when I tell you the answer. So, apparently, everyone knows the alphabet, and after the letter captures the reader's attention. Prompts one to reflect upon what the explanation means. Okay. Before proceeding, it is necessary to analyze both the structure and content of the acrostic. In order to simplify presentation of the material, we will move back and forth between structure and content. As far as structure is concerned, everybody take one of these. I'll take one too. What you have over here is, yeah, here's more. You got? Everybody has one now? More? There's more? I made 10. Good. Now, what you have over here on this sheet, before I start reading, I just want you to know how the, I'm going to read the statement, the paper. I just want you to see what table 2 is here. The right-handmost column is the mizmor number. You see that? 9 and 10. The next one is the verse number in the mizmor. The next one is the mizmor letter number, the letter of the alphabet, right? Well, sorry. The mizmor letter number. The next one is the number of the alphabet, right? You know, the yud is the 10th letter of the alphabet, like that. The next one is the letter itself. And after that, other verses, reading the way you would in Hebrew, David, and so on and so forth to the bottom through Mizmorim 9 and 10. Everybody with me?
What does Mizmor letter number mean?
Mizmor letter number means the letter number in the particular Mizmor.
So why in Mizmor?
Because 10? The Lamed starts in Mizmor 10, it is letter number 1. Okay. It is the first letter.
Why is Kuf letter number 2 then?
Because they're, all the letters in between are missing.
Oh, missing. Okay.
See, missing? That's missing. Now, I'll read. The alphabet's 22 letters are split. This is important. So everybody, just pay attention for 2 seconds. It's not complicated. Just a little, you know, don't fall asleep. The alphabet's 22 letters are split evenly between Mizmorim 9 and 10. The first 11 letters in reality 10 because of the missing letter Dalid occur in Mizmor 9. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Everybody? Raquel, you got it?
No, what was that? One more time?
I'll say it one more time. The first 11 letters,
yeah,
in reality 10, because of the missing letter Dalid,
okay,
right, occur in Mizmor 9. Take a look at your table. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The reason is because after 3, there is no Dalid. You see the black? It's a missing letter. So is there's 11 letters of the alphabet, but really 10 because there. That's the difference. Now you understand the difference?
Yeah.
Okay. The remaining 11 letters, in reality 5, because of the 6 consecutive missing letters, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Peh, Sadi, occur in Mizmor 10. The acrostic divides into 4 sections as follows. You guys have that gray in your table. You'll see. 9, 1 through 17, section 1, contains 8 letters. 3 consecutive letters, Aleph to Gimel, followed by the missing letter Dalid, followed by 5 consecutive letters, He to Tet. The end of this section is marked by the Selah at the end of verse 17. Everybody seeing that in the table? I made the table so it'll be like, duh, right? Easy. 2. 9, 18 to 21, section 2, ends Mizmor 9 with a Selah at the end of verse 21. Contains 2 consecutive letters, Yud and Chaf. The Selah here functions as the connector to Mizmor 10, in effect stating that the acrostic continues into the next Mizmor. parenthetical statement important because I discussed it with you in the introduction. See our paper, the word Selah and its function in Tehillim. If you remember, I told you that the word Selah has multiple usages over here. We said if it's a subparagraph break, there is no subparagraph break. Whenever you see a Selah, which occurs only in the end of 3 and the end of 9 and one other time, maybe that's it. What is going on with a Selah at the end of a Mizmor? The answer, of course, is to tell you, keep going. Even though the Mizmor is finished, even though it functions as its own unit, keep going because the two of them are going to form a larger unit.
Like a comma.
Like a?
Comma.
No, like a TB, to be continued. Or no, continued, not to be, continue. 10.1, section 3, opens Mizmor 10, contains one letter, the Lamed. It continues the alphabet from Mizmor 9, which ended in the letter Chaf. Yeah? This, the verse, yeah? Everybody? Yeah. The verse is multifunctional, as it continues the previous section, forming a three-letter Yud, Chaf, Lamed string. It starts Mizmor 10, and it introduces the next section, the content. So it does three things.
Separate, though.
Huh?
The other one's
at Selah.
This doesn't have a Selah.
That's right.
How do you know it's a separate...
Because there's no letter after it.
It's good.
Well, 10 verses later. 11 verses later. Went off the deep end.
But this one was missing a letter and you didn't put a line there.
That's because I said... No, first of all I said... I am stating... When I didn't say it's a section of... unto itself, I'm stating that. Your question, if you're saying, well, why don't you just make that into a section too? Well, right? Also,
if he's
is good.
Off because he's missing a letter, then why don't you check?
That's right. Your question is a good question, and let me say to you, I'm stating this is how it's broken up. I'm not now doing it based on anything that makes any sense to you yet. Most of it makes sense just because you're looking at it. Your question is a good question. Why didn't you say section 1, section 2, section 3, section... Right? Why don't you say that? It is not because there's a missing letter that makes this section. There are other elements that make sections. I am just telling you, here's the sections. You know, commentators who write on Tehillim come and say, here's the breakdown. Then they explain. Right? So I'm just sort of saying, here's how it breaks up. Your question is valid. Okay, 10. I just wanted to point out. You understood that it has it's a multifunctional letter, Lamed. Because it's Yud Kaf Lamed, so it has three letters in a row, right? The sailor brings it over. You see, there's three letters in a row. That's one. Two, the Yud and Kaf of the previous Mizmor continue into the Lamed. There's no break. It makes a Yud Chaf Lamed unit. Don't you have Aleph Bet Gimel as a unit? Mm-hmm. Dalid breaks. Mm-hmm. Then you have Het Tet as a unit. Mm-hmm. Right?
So this continues because it has the Selah then?
See the pattern.
Then you have a Selah.
Is that why this Lamed is part of the first...
The Selah takes... Say that again? I didn't hear your question. Good. I'm sorry.
Is the Lamed part of it because the Selah is then saying... We said that to continue...
That's what we said about the Selah. That's correct.
Right, so that's what's connecting this Lamed to the Yud and Kaf.
Yes. But besides that, there's another element that ties it in. Yud Chaf Lamed. You're reading a. No, Yud Chaf Lamed, the three letters of the alphabet. Yud Chaf Lamed. You know, L-M-N. You see, if you would read L-M-N-O, you go, oh, it makes an L-M-N-O unit. It's a Yud Chaf Lamed unit, exclusive of the Selah. It works.
The continuity into the next...
So if there was a
Mem,
let's say, you would say
Yud Chaf Lamed Mem. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I say this, you see, but this is all good that you're doing this. What I want the reader to do is go like this. Oh, look at this Lamed. This Lamed is by itself. Everything goes off the deep end. I'm sort of setting you up.
Well, that's right? The question. But
it's a good question.
The Selah there.
Well, the Selah takes you there. Mm-hmm. The Lamed takes you backwards anyway to a Yud Chaf Lamed grouping of the alphabet.
Someone might say no, it doesn't because it's a separate part.
All the more reason. I said it serves multifunctional purpose. If you're reading this acrostic and you're waiting for the next letter, well, you got it. Do you or do you not? If you're reading A, B, C, D, E, F, G, next is more. H, well, I got it. I'm continuing.
But how come you don't say that about the Tet Yud Kaf one? Why is it three?
Because I said that the Selah over there stops things. It's a sub-paragraph break. I told you it's multifunctional. At the Tet, you have a Selah there, right? Mm-hmm. The Selah is, the writer is going like this. Look, he's going like this. Stop. I don't know why he's saying stop. He said stop. See, this Selah is not, we are stating to you, Selah is not there by accident. The writer put a Selah there. So you know what he said? He said, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dal, oh, no Dalit. But he kept going. Hevav, Zayin, Het, Tit. Oh, unit. He said that. I didn't say that. By the way, of course, Jack, that's your answer. Then after that, you know what he did? He gave me Yud and Achaf. Then he put another Selah. So you could say to me, well, break. No, not break. Selah at the end of a mizmor can't be a stop. There is no stop. Just don't put it there and you stop.
Okay.
Just don't put it. Yes? What do you mean stop? Stop what? I stopped. Go outside. So you get outside. So it goes, now go outside. I am outside. What go outside? What stop? So I said to you, it's multifunctional. So if it said A, B, C, D, A, B, C, no D, E, F, G, H, H, I, stop, 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 oh, unit. Now, that's I, J, K, stop, but it isn't a stop. Stop, and then it is what? Can't be telling me stop, but stop, I'm stuck. Just don't do anything. Oh, Selah. Oh, this is Selah having one of its usages. Continue. Lamed. Got it. Unit. Well, unit, you took me there. But you know what? It really is by itself. It's with it. It's by... Well, it says Yud Kaf Lamed, it's with it. But you know what it also does? It also starts this mizmor. Doesn't it? This letter, I could call it the letter that starts the mizmor. Well, that's important. So it's multi... It does many things. One, it continues the unit from before. Two, it starts this mizmor. Three, if you read it, which you didn't read it yet, it introduces the whole mizmor.
Yeah, there's no subscript or whatever you call it.
There's no
superscript.
Well, that all the more tells you keep reading. Selah, many, keep reading. Multifunctional. You know what the next thing it does? Hey, you know how it introduces the mizmor? Let me show you how. You don't look inside and don't try and figure it out. Why, God, do you stand far away? Do you hide in times of trouble? That's setting you up, right? If you had read all of 9, which you're supposed to have all read it numerous times, so then it opens up with a question. God, what are you standing far away? Why are you standing far away, hiding in times of trouble? You know, of course, that's sort of an introductory words to the 10th thing. So that's what I meant by multifunctional. Can we read further? Okay. You guys on the tape recorder, it's good for you, won't it? Right? Mizmor 10 introduces the next, starts Mizmor 10 and introduces the next section. Last, 4. By the way, you notice I wrote 5 sections, and in the thing I wrote 4 sections as follows, and then I put in 5 sections, which you call an unedited text. Okay. So thank God I didn't print this yet. No, it's far from being ready. 4. 10, 2 to 11.
10.
Mizmor 10, verses 2 to 11.
Okay.
Section 4 contains no letters, right? The other ones contained one, contains nothing. And is missing 6 letters. Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Peh, Sadi. M-N-O-P-Q-R. Right? Right? Not complicated. Anybody want to look at the black letters, the letters to the left of the black over there, and look at those to make sure I'm right? You all see it? Okay. Section 5, Mizmor 10, verses 12 through 18, contains four consecutive letters, Kuf, Resh, Shin, Taf, and closes Mizmor 10 and our acrostic. Everybody got it? You now know the structure of the Mizmor.
So are you delineating four or five sections?
Five.
So maybe putting it's because this section
maybe
on
it's
own.
Maybe it's because I don't know what to do.
Okay.
Now, I know that is exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter
Islam,
right now.
Does Islam get its own section, or it does not get its own section?
It is to be discussed. To be discussed. That's why I wrote it one way and said it the other way. I'm really torn as to how to present it. Well, what should I do? Really, it's the Yud Chaf Lamed section. It's, you know, it's one of those. Does it do this? Does it do that? So, but
why would you separate it? Because
new is Mizmor.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Right,
yeah.
Break, but there's no.
Although I have to agree. Yeah, that's correct. You see, I'm still torn.
You're trying to sell us that there's no break, so just take it out.
But there isn't.
No, I want you to know there's a section. I do want you to see these sections. That is important. The writer is doing. I'm not doing that. I want you to see what the writer is. The text is showing you that. Aleph to Kaf, Sela. Yud, Chaf, Sela. Lamed, six missing letters. Kufre Shin Taf. Come on. Six, there's a major section of the whole 10th Mizmor. There's only five letters with six missing. There are more missing letters than there are letters of the alphabet in the 11 letters. There's 11 letters in the first missing one. Over here, there are only five with six missing. There are more missing than, you know what the scholars go over here? They go, you're absolutely out of your mind. There are only five letters. What are you telling me? It's continuing. It's a mishmash. They say it's a hosh-bosh mishmash. Wait till you hear the answer. I hope we get, you know, I'd like to get there in 22 minutes and then explain it all. Can we do something nutty? Can we just show it to you? It'll go right up. How about if I show it to you and let it go right over your head?
No.
No. So much
we tried
fun.
That last year too many times.
Oh, man. This is great. This is really exciting. Before proceeding, we will do an analysis of the word, phrases, and concepts of Mizmor 7, 8, and 11. We did it. The two that precede our acrostic, we did all of this. Following are numerous literary similarities linking Mizmorim 7 through 11. And that's... You know what? If I have a... You can keep these in front of you. Don't some of you have one of those? Are there any... Yeah, is there anything in there that gets you to, like... turn the pages a little bit, and until you see, yeah, keep going. You have two sides to each page. There, that you see that over there where it's green and yellow. You have that. You just passed it, maybe up there, green and yellow.
Yeah, but there's blue on.
Does it say one of the clearest indications?
Yellow.
Yeah, page 9.
Where?
16 different versions we're looking at here.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
You see, one of the clearest indications of a literary connection between Mizmorim 7 through our acrostic is found in the quadruple repetition. Everybody with me now?
Yeah.
In the quadruple repetition of the stem Sham, referring to Hashem's name, and the twice repeated phrase of the other night, note the following locations. You know all of this. We've spent a lot of time explaining it. Odeh Hashem, Azamirah, Ma'adir Shemcha, Odeh Hashem, and Azamirah Shemcha Elyon. Clearest indications. The first letter of the acrostic starts and ends with the same word that started and ended the last verse, etc., etc. You know all of this. Okay? So we're going to skip it. We're going to go to the first letter of the Yeah.
Duplicate pages?
Yeah, it's duplicate pages. There's a million versions here. Now, is there a thing that says the first letter of the acrostic somewhere after that? Yeah, starts and ends, right? Started and ended the last, right. Okay. This larger envelope encloses Mizmor 8, which in turn opens and closes with words that form an envelope to Mizmor 8 itself. The words Adonai 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 Yishim Chabikola Aretz are the actualization of his commitment to swing to Hashem's name, right? That's the actualization. I'm going to do it. He does it. Okay? Apparently, Mizmor 8 reflects the thoughts of a person who in verse 4 is looking at the stars and is in awe of Hashem's majesty and splendor. In verse 5, he thinks of the insignificance of man and expresses this thought by asking Hashem why he remembers or takes note of man. Everybody remembers all of this as a review. The phrase in verse 6, "V'kehasireu me'at me'elohim," reminds one of Hashem's words in Genesis 1:26 Na'aseh adam b'salmenu kidmutenu. Since you all know that, we're not going to look it up.
Say it in English?
No. Let us make man in our image.
Oh, what do they say here?
Right? You know the famous Na'aseh adam b'salmenu kidmutenu, don't you? You know it. You learned it in school. As a kid, let's make man in our image. God. Kidmutenu, in our likeness, an image. Oh.
So what does this mean?
You made him a little less than godlike.
Okay.
He's from the word hased, less. Batehaserehu, and you made him a little bit less me'elohim than a god. You made man like he's like almost a god on earth, isn't he?
Right.
He's like a little less than godlike. He has so much control, right? So it reminds you of Na'aseh Adam b'Salmenu Kidmutenu. Let us make man in our image, right? And in conjunction with verses 8 and 9, recalls the rest of the words of Genesis 1, 26 and on. You all remember what it says in Genesis 1, 26 forward? You don't? No, no, in Bereshit. What does it say in Bereshit? Don't even look. Don't even look, because you do know it. You just don't know you know it. What does it say after God says, let's make man in our image? The beasts and the heavens and the earth and the thing and the da da da. Go open it up. Now you can go look. Now you can go look. Yeah.
He makes so anything else and then he makes...
So read it. It's only two verses. Look at... Open up to Genesis 1, 26.
Okay.
And we'll let Raquel read the Hebrew. She's the best reader here. And they'll root, right? You know what that means? Somebody translate to English.
He shall rule,
go ahead.
Rule the fish of the sea.
Rule, you see rule? Rule, there'll be pat, right? Go ahead.
ובעוף השמיים ובבהמה בכל הארץ בכל הרמש הרומס
הרמש הרומס
על הארץ.
Right, so you know what that means. I don't have to translate that to you, right? Keep going.
ויברא אלוהים את האדם בצלמו בצלם אלוהים ברא אותו זכר נקבה ברא אותם.
He made him in God's image. So this sounds like when you read 8 and you read מהדיר שלך בכל הארץ ומהינוס, what is man that you know him and that you made him a little less than God-like? You know, it reminds you of those words. Let's make man in our image. Right? Kidmutenu. The famous words that you're always annoyed with. Who's God talking to? What's that whole conversation all about?
Right.
Who's he talking to? Would it always be? We don't know. We always hear that and we get it, right? Who's he talking to? And you always get very bothered by this. What do you mean we'll make him in God? God says we'll make him in our image. What's your head? What's that all about? Right?
Well, so, all of a sudden,
so,
made him in our image, male and female. So I guess maybe there's, I don't know.
So, but it sounds like that he's very. When you hear, you made him a little less than godlike. It makes you think of those words.
Yeah.
Let's make God in our image, certainly. And then the rest of 8 talks about what? What does it say after that?
That he rules the animals.
Say it. Go ahead, read it. You can read it in English.
What
in 8?
That you have made him little less than divine and adored him with glory and majesty. You have made him master over your handiwork, laying the world at his feet. Sheep and oxen, all of them, and wild beasts too.
Sheep, oxen, wild beasts.
The birds of the heavens.
Birds of the heaven, that's the words of the Torah. Read it in Hebrew, birds of the heaven, Jack.
He left the creepy cold.
Shamayim.
Yeah. Keep reading.
We just said that.
Birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever travels the paths of the sea.
Right? Left the creepy crawlies out. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
But you see that this mizmor went and ended off just like Bereshit ends off that point. Is it correct?
Yeah.
Clearly. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not telling you that part, that anybody who reads this says, oh, Bereshit, chapter 26, read the next two verses. That's this. That's blatant, what I just told you. What I'm telling you now is blatant. No, everybody. Yeah, that's blatant. You didn't know it when you read it, but it's blatant. Your question that you asked me, the guys who know the text, right away when they see this, you know, that they will jump at. You know, they say, hey, that sounds exactly like Na'aseh Adam b'Salmenu Kidmutenu, and it even sounds like the rest of the words in that Bereshit statement. The fish, the birds, sounds exactly the same, so they see the flow. Okay? Now that you're aware of that, Apparently, Mizmor 8 reflects the thoughts of a person who in verse 4 is looking at the stars in awe, etc., etc. And the phrase, a little less than godlike, reminds one of Hashem's word in Jap. Now you understand why it reminds of 126. Nase Adam B'tzal Minu Kidmotenu. And in conjunction with verses 8 and 9, recalls the rest of the words in Genesis 1:26, which you just now read. Both of them articulating man's dominion over the created world, right? That's what Bereshit is saying, and that's what this is saying. Man has dominion over the created world, yes? But the verse 3 statement, I'm going to put in that Alfred said he has the answer to... No, okay, kidding. There's a little humor, a little break of it. Okay, yeah. But the verse 3 statement regarding setting up the foundations of strength for the ultimate goal of the cessation of evil through the mouths of babies has been treated as an anomaly and caused much strained interpretation. Even Alfred's. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
The babies are the prophets. Maybe.
Well, why call babies prophets? It's going to be impossible for you. So hold on. But watch now. But watch. Has caused much strained interpretation. Clearly, verse 3 is a statement.
Who's God's false? No, it's your.
No, you're meaning gods. Yeah, your foe, right. Sorecha, the ones who stand up against. Bad people, evil people, wicked people. Clearly, verse 3 is a statement regarding the method Hashem will use to subdue the wicked somehow or other through babies' mouths. Clearly, that's what it's saying. In other words, what I'm trying to clarify when I'm writing this is to tell you, whatever this is going to mean, it says, somehow or other, this is saying that the wicked will be subdued through the mouths of babies. Somehow. That's why people don't... That you all have to make... That's why, Alfred, just to tell you, even the modern Bible, they all make Midrashim.
No,
mouths of babies. Prophets, babies are called prophets, beings in man doesn't mean... They all say like thousands and thousands of things because they don't know what to do, how babies' mouths accomplish this thing. So they make a lot of midrashim. Wait. But why turn to babies as the way evil will be stopped? I'm asking that question. How will that be accomplished? When you do that, because it said that somehow or other, babies. And what is this statement doing in the present location? What has it got to do with the price of tomatoes anyway? First of all, how do babies' mouths accomplish it? Second, and then finally, what are we sticking it in the middle of this statement over here for? We would like to propose an explanation based on the larger picture that can be seen through understanding this mizmor in light of the previous one, if not all of the seven mizmorim that brought us to mizmor 8 and our acrostic. The following is a very short recap of the 8 mizmorim that precede our acrostic. We did the recap. We will skip the recap. 7. We're going to the recap of 7. For the next 12 minutes, it gets hard. Look inside with me. Everybody look at your papers. Here we go. Apparently. Through 6, you know what I said about in my recap? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's suffering. It's bad. He's being terrorized. And the situation is so bad that it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking. You didn't read it today. Time constraints. But if you read it, you're really sick from it. It really is... Like when you, if you read a very, it's just so sad. You could just sit down and start crying. It's terrible, terrible statements. Apparently, the opening word of the superscripture shigayon means insanity, just like the word you think of mishuga.
Where are we?
The, seven, number seven.
No.
Keep going all the way to number 7.
Is it?
Go forward.
No.
Go forward. No, back. I'll give it to you.
Page 11,
right?
What?
11.
Yeah, there should be an apparently.
Are you saying that Shigayon always means that?
No, it only means it here. And I'll tell you how.
I don't like that.
There's no apparently?
No.
Well, who knows what I did?
Not a parent.
Oh, wow, look, I changed everything.
Is this right?
Broken.
Oh, I changed it.
So confused.
Yeah, you know what you could read? The deadly. Listen to this. The deadly accusations of his pursuers are false, and if Hashem doesn't save him, he will be torn to pieces. Just listen. You know what? Just listen.
How do you know they're false?
Which I said.
Seven? Isn't that seven already?
He says they're false. He says if I'm guilty, tear me to. Right?
Okay.
Doesn't save him. He will be torn to pieces. After the Selah, he opens with the words Kuma Hashem. Important. First words after the Selah. Kuma Hashem, arise God, asking Hashem to take action and return on high to judge the world and bring justice and vindication. He asks Hashem, stand up, take action. He tells him, stand up, right? He closes with a pledge to praise Hashem for his righteousness and to sing to his name. Not accidentally, this is the seventh Mizmor to be discussed. The first half of Mizmor 8, verse 2, Mad Yishuv has the actualization of his pledge. I told you all of that. This is a much better version.
Wait,
let me just finish because we're going to be here forever if I don't say it right. This view of Hashem leads to the confidence that he who created the world is the one who can judge the world. That you're majestic. He sees the stars. He sees the heaven. He sees that scene. You created the world. You can do anything. All powerful. Isn't that the sense of might, power, insignificance of us, and so on and so forth, leads to the confidence that he who created the world is the one who can judge the world. And this in turn leads to the actualization of the other pledge to praise Hashem for his righteousness. In before, he says, I'm going to praise God for his righteousness. How could he do that? So he says, he praises God. He looks at that scene, and he says, God created the world. God could do anything. And he says, oh, that's how he gets to the, for his righteousness. And he says, he could do it. Although there is, now, in the very next verse, in Mizmor 8, although there is no immediate end to the evil that permeates everything at the present time, this is important now, he realizes there's no end to the evil. It ain't happening in the next 10 seconds. I'm going very fast now. It's not happening. You know where he is? He's in a, God forbid, a person in a concentration camp. He knows it ain't ending in the next 2 minutes. Because people have been dying all the time, and he knows he might be marching into that disaster. Okay? So he's looking up at the stars in the midst of, if you would have read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, a very bad situation. And he praises God. And he sees God as the creator, and he knows he can bring the situation about. So you know what he says? Although there is no immediate end to the evil that permeates everything at the present time, the prophet states that Hashem at that moment has already, while he's standing there in that Gehinam situation, has already set up the foundation of strength to bring a cessation of evil through the mouths of babies who will grow up to speak against those who are Hashem's enemies. His only hope right now is bad, and it will continue to be bad in the next Mizmor. So you know what he says? Amazing kinds of confidence, but it's more than that.
Do we know what he's going through?
Yeah, that's what I said. I wish I could show you how much he's going through. We haven't. You see, you have to read on your own these Mizmorim that build you up.
No, but why is he in such a bad? Why is he being chased? Why is he in this? It's just happening.
We're going to talk about it. Give me a moment. We know it's a reality. The why right now we're not dealing. We know it's a reality. When you read it, it's a reality. It's right there in your face. It's happening. If you read 9 and 10, you know he knows he talks about Zion. You know that things are bad. You know that he's talking about being in Jerusalem. You know that it's the end. You know that things are falling apart or have fallen apart. You know a terrible Holocaust. came, is coming, is in the middle. It's very bad. You know that he's suffering and severing, six, he's almost dying. The disease is very bad. He's physically ill. And you know, in seven, they're trying to, there's a lynch mob. And he's innocent. He's ill. It's a lynch mob. I mean, his situation is as bad as it could be. They want to get him because of whatever it is that he's doing that they want to, these evil people want to kill him. And he turns around and he goes from the mouths, Mipi Oli Miyonakim Yisadat Ha'oz. You set up the foundations of strength from the mouths of babies to cause a cessation of the enemy. Because, you know, at this moment, he thinks to himself, he says, isn't he looking at the stars and seeing the planet? Isn't it the imagery of the stars and the moon? Picture. He sees the big picture. He sees all the people walking around. He sees the globe, right? He sees that whole earth, the whole universe. Remy says was so insignificant. Didn't he see that picture? Mm-hmm. So in the middle of it, he says, look at the praise. How can he praise God in the middle of it? How can he praise God in the middle of that? He does. He says, the covenant is in effect.
Correct. The covenant he made with Abraham.
That's why it's in the eighth mizmor. That's right. The covenant is in effect. Because right now, right this second, there are babies being born. And those babies, out of their mouths, is going to come
for generations to come.
The thing that will stop this evil from proliferating. Right? Mipi olalim yonikim, from the mouths of babies. And you said it, by the way, as the last statement while I was talking before. You said, oh, the babies. And you said the future generation. You said something like that. You said it to yourself. You started that, right. That is exactly where he sees it. It's not the future generation. You know what it is? He looks at it as the very next one. He sees the babies on earth. He says, right now, in the midst of this, there's babies somewhere who are going to grow up and they're going to fight against this sickness. This is the evil. Remember, the seventh mizmor starts with the word insanity.
I thought it was wrong.
You know what his explanation of the situation he finds himself in before he starts praising God? It's insane. That's the only word he has to say. It's really, he has nothing to describe it. It's just insanity. You ever look at a bad situation? You know how you describe a bad situation? You go, it's a world gone crazy. That's Shigayon. I'm going to show you how he does the Shigayon in a little while. So he goes like this. Give me time. So, I'll tell you. In the ninth mizmor, in the acrostic, right before the Selah that ends section one, you know what the word is?
Yeah, give me a second.
Take a look. Take a look. What are the words right here before the Selah?
What is
now? Not Shigayon.
Higayon.
You know what Higayon means? He finishes talking in the first nine letters, and you know what he says? Think about it. Hege means to meditate upon this. His last words before he says break, you know, stop, over there it is stop. Over there it's okay, subparagraph break. Right before, you know what he says? He doesn't say think about it. He says, think about it, oy ayon. You know, in poetry you can go, I don't know how to do it in English, so I'm trying to think of a word that would be like higayon, because he wants to take you back to shigayon. So in 7 he says, Shigayon. Over here, that means crazy. And over here it's, think about it. Why? All the insanity that's going on. Think about what I said up till now. Think about what I said in 8. And think about what I just, you don't know what he said in 1 to 9. If you read it well, you'd have an idea. Think about it.
What?
He's telling you, think about what I said in these Aleph to Tet letters up till now. Think about it. Contemplate it. He's telling you, the reader, I'm telling you something very important. And he's telling you, Higayon, because he's letting you know, that's right, I'm taking you back, in a subtle way. He's doing it in a literary, subtle way. I started this section by telling you, insanity. My opening words are, an insane psalm. Well, it is insane. I'm dying. I'm on the verge of death. I'm physically ill. I have people, I'm in a lynch mob. They want to hang me. I never did anything wrong. The world has gone crazy. There are slaughtering people all over. There are maniacs, Nazis all over the streets, trying to break in or have broken in and killed. And There's a very bit. Now, I didn't tell you what he said in those 9 letters yet. Relax. Relax. Hold. I'm going to go very fast now. I'm going to go very fast. And I'm going to tell you the whole thing right now about the missing letters.
He got even a lot of real words that's used other places.
Yeah, because he keeps on playing the
trick. Not at all, ever. Not Shigayon, not Higayon, ever.
They never used
and not, never Ayon, none, zero.
Not in the whole book?
Ever, ever, ever.
It sounds like I know.
It sounds like a real book, never. Right?
Wait, give me a minute. If you break constant, don't, you want to know some criticism? Make the your shores after, because I'm going to tell you the whole thing now. Your brains are now there. And I decided I'd rather do it now than next week when you go, let's start all over again.
Okay.
Listen to me. I'm going to tell it to you. Give me 5. I'm telling you, I can do this fast. Just bear with me. I just wanted to get your brains into the mode. Things are bad. I'm sorry I have to keep saying that, but that's the realities of the situation that's presented in Tehillim in its opening chapters. He is joyous in his praise. He said, I'm going to be joyous. I'm going to exult. Remember that word? And then he starts praising God, and he looks and he's overwhelmed. And in the middle of it, he really praises God with the covenant. He says, I know the covenant's in effect. I know right now there's babies, little teeny babies, they're sucklings, you know? They're little sucklings, they're little teeny olim. Olim are they're still sucklings that they're by their mother, right? I know that from their mouths is going to come, right now the foundation for the cessation of evil is in effect. Because he has total confidence in the covenant working. Did you get that?
Of course.
Total confidence. He believes the covenant is totally there. He believes in the covenant of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, his forefathers. He's a prophet himself, and he has been told by God that it's going to work, and he believes it. But he also knows that it's not happening this minute. It's going to happen in the future. It can't happen in the next 10 minutes. He's practical. You think that, God forbid, a person in World War II, in the middle of Nazi Germany's thing, a soldier on the field says, this is ending in a minute and a half? Well, he says, inshallah, when this battle is over, and whatever, hopefully in the coming months, and he knows there's no in the next minute. He knows they're strong. He knows you're not stopping them tomorrow. You speak to a guy in the middle of World War II, he says, this is years. At best. At best, you know, if you don't get the atomic bomb, it might go on for. Who knows how long it'll go on, and who knows it, right? I'm only saying that to emphasize this point of he's practical, but he has total confidence in God to such an extent that he goes, and I know that the foundations of strength, right this second, see, it's at this second because they're babies. He knows somewhere the nation, and it was, by the way, and it was true, right? And it was true, and, well, to be explained. But coming back now, when I saw this picture of the Mizmor, I analyzed the acrostic thoroughly. And you have to remember, I had been analyzing a lot of Mizmorim before. Many, many, many. Not only acrostics, there's only 8 acrostics, 150 Mizmorim. And can I have these sheets back so I can give you other sheets a minute?
Which one?
All of these, everything. In fact, everything. Everything. Just so, only because I want to keep system. Don't worry, I'll let you have anything you want at another time. Not that, no, you know what? I don't want you to have this. I'll tell you why, because it's in French fried potato steak. So I don't want you to get all messed up. I'm rewriting this. Now, when I give you this, we're going to take. Can you stay here till 10:10 tonight?
You stay here.
Okay, I'm going to give you these sheets.
I'm ready.
Don't go crazy when I give you the sheets, and don't try and swallow them up. I'm going to go straight to the heart of the explanation of the missing letters, quickly, and just take them and look at them and go slow. Joe and Raquel.
Wow, so many colors.
That's why I said, relax with the colors. Okay, I don't have any more that are different. I think I gave you all the good ones. I don't even have one. All of these are no good. That's a good one. That's a good one. And that's a good one. I analyzed the Mizmor and I looked at every aspect of the Mizmor. You listening to me? Everybody go. Just follow me. Don't look at anything. Go to the third column from the left, which is how many words there are in each verse. words in a verse. You see 5, 7, 6, 6. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Look what I saw. You see the yellow? 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9. You saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that all the way down?
Yeah.
I looked at it. Everybody listen to me. I said, hey, I know that there's no such thing in Tehillim. Tehillim has a lot of 6, 7, and 8 word verses. Got that? That's just, they're small. You know, remember bicolons? Ashesh bevetecha? Odialukhasela. Threes. 3-3. 4-4. 5-5. There is, but it's not a lot. And there are nines. But when I saw that, I said, what's with the 9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9? And I looked at that and I said, something is going on here. Now, I'm going to tell you something that took a long, long time in 5 minutes. It took a very long time. Everything went through, you know, this is a very long time condensed into 5 minutes, so bear with me. I then looked at the letters before the break. You see the Dalid? You see the Dalid? The green?
Mm-hmm.
See the green stripe? The first green stripe? That's the missing letter Dalid. You see the 8 before it?
Mm-hmm.
8 words. Go to the next green where the 6 missing letters are and look at the verse after it. It's an 8. I said, you know, look over the 8. 7-9-9-9-7. You see that, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the 8-9-8-7-8, no?
No.
Up, I say.
Oh, okay,
I wish I had a projector. I told Ricky I need a projector. You see 7-9-9-9-7?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the 999 is? Yud. Take a look. Look to your right and tell me what the 999 is. It's the letter? The letter what? Chaf. All of the letter Chaf is 999. I looked over it, and then there's the Yud. And it's a 7.
Mm-hmm.
999, 3 9 word verses for the letter Chaf. The letter Chaf is the middle of the text. Remember the center? It's the center point. It's 999. You remember the Yud? You remember Albert's question? We remember what he said? Yud, Chaf, how do you do? What do you do with the Lamed? Guess what? The Yud is 7 words, and the Lamed is 7 words. So remember the Yud, Chaf, Lamed team?
Yeah.
You know what it makes up when you look at it? 7-9-9-9-7.
It's blinking lights.
It's can blinking lights. Right, Alfred? Right, Jack? So I looked at that, and I said, holy macro.
No, right.
And I went, you know what? Aleph, Bet, and Gimel have 7-6-6-8-8. You get to the missing letter, and then you get a 9. You look at the Vav, the letter Vav. It consists of 4 verses. 6-7-7-9. And then the letter Zion, only Raquel now, has a what?
7-9. 9.
And the letter Het has a?
9.
8-9. 9. And the letter Tet has a?
9-10.
7-9.
Oh, that's strange. And then you know what happened? I realize, you looking now?
6-7.
Het is the 5th letter. So it has a 9. 1 verse.
Cool.
Vav has 6. It's a 6. Forget the letters in between. 9. Zion is the number 7. Everybody knows what I mean by the number 7.
Yeah.
It's the 7.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
7, 9. 8 is 8, 9. And 9 is
9.
9. So I said, wow, look at this. 6 is 6, 9. 7 is 7, 9. 8 is 8, 9. 10 is 9. I said, nothing is happening by accident in anything in this mizmor, even the amount of words in the verse, and I know the whole pattern now. I even know how many words there are in a verse, why there's 9, why there's 8, why there's 7, why there's 6, why there's everything, and I know where it works, and I know how it works, and I know the sections. And you're seeing it, of course, in front of your eyes now. So I said, wow, look at Chaf. How many? Everybody go all the way to the right now and count. Let's see, from the letter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You see where it says 39 on the bottom, all the way on the bottom on the right? Look at me if you want to know where. Here, see 39? You see that? Go on the right-hand column up to where it says 2020.
Mm-hmm.
On the right-hand column where it says 2020.
See that? You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? That's the center verse of the whole thing. You know where it lands?
The
At the Chaf. Where in the Chaf?
In the middle of the Chaf.
In the middle of the Chaf. The half is 999, and the 9 in the middle is the 2020. I said, wait a minute. Do you know what that means? How many verses are there until the half?
19.
18.
I'm sorry, 18.
How many verses are there after the half?
18.
What is 18?
2 times 9.
2 times 9. Now, to make a long story short, everybody look at me. And do this all in one night, in 1 minute.
It's a 9 multiple.
It's a 9 multiple. And I realized that nothing is 8 in this mizmor. And everything that I ever did in Tehillim was always 8 and 5, which is 13. All my breaks were always 8s. There was never 9s. And then I found out that when you take the mizmor and you break it out, wrong chart.
You need a projector as well.
No, don't worry. It's going to be easy. You're going to understand everything before you leave tonight in 5 seconds. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Oh my God. Are those going in the book too?
Yeah, I don't know. Here we go. I took all of the words that have the missing letters in them. I took section 1.
What do you mean the missing letters?
A dalet, a mem, a nun, a samach, an ayin, and a peh.
Okay.
There are how many missing letters in the text?
6.
7.
Yeah.
So I took any word that has a missing letter in it.
Oh,
any missing word? Letter, if it has a word, it's called one of the words that has one of those missing...
Any word? What do you mean?
Any word anywhere in the text.
That what, so starts with...
Oh, that has any one of those letters.
So it has
missing, but it's somewhere else in there and you boxed it.
Right?
Let's say the letter A is missing. I took any word that has an A and said it's one of those words.
Okay.
If it has... There are 7 of them.
Fine.
I counted how many there are in the first section.
Fine.
90.
Okay.
There's 90 words in the first section.
It's 7
of
letters.
Section 1, through the Selah. Remember the Selah?
Yeah.
It's 7 letters.
Right.
So it appears 90 times in the first half of the thing.
90 words have it. You know how many don't?
Somewhere, not starting.
You know how many words there are in section 1 up to the Selah?
180.
130. Okay. You know what the breakdown is? 90 words with it, 40 words without it. 90-40.
Okay.
You know the section with the black, where the letters are all missing?
90-40.
How many words are in there?
90.
And then I found out that everything has 9 in it. And everything is 90. And every break is at 9 and 4. Stop. Jack, don't try and understand it all. I don't need you to understand it all. I just wanted you to understand this. Listen to me, I don't need you. Listen to me, it's going to be okay. Believe me, you're going to be okay. You see this section that's dark here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where all the missing letters, the 6 missing letters in a row. Right. Remember the stuff? I counted how many words there were here.
90.
There are 90. You remember the first sale out with the break?
Yeah.
I counted how many words there were there. 130. I said, but where's the 90? I said, let me count how many words have the one of the missing letters. There were 90 of them. I counted how many words came. Before here, 40. After here, 90. Before here, 40. How many words after? 90. Everything in this mizmor, everything is either 9 words in the verse, 90 words in the section, or something to do with 9 and 4. Stop! Now I went and looked and said, how come this, after the Dalet, you see that there are, now it's important to look at your charts. You see that some of the verses are not the same length?
Mm-hmm.
You see that the Aleph has, how many verses in the letter Aleph, Solomon?
Two.
Two. Mm-hmm. See the yellow and gray?
Mm-hmm.
How many verses in the Bet?
Two.
How many verses in the Gimel?
One.
How many verses in the Hair?
One.
How many verses in the Bab, God's name?
Four.
How many verses in Zayin?
Two.
And the next?
Two.
And the next?
Two.
And the next?
One.
And the next?
Three.
Okay. And the next?
One.
And the next? Nothing.
A lot.
90 words. And the next?
One.
Two.
And the next?
One.
And the next?
Two.
And, okay. I looked at it, and I said, I know exactly where the missing letters are, and I know why there are single verses in this text and why there's a break. And it all made sense. There is a system here. And the system is simple. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Carefully. You see these, the green, you see the there's black in your text?
Yes.
See the black?
Yes.
You know what the black word black is?
Ashah.
That's right.
Again.
Every time evil comes on the picture, the system of the mizmor is disrupted. And it goes haywire.
Every time.
And it's
say
insane.
It again, say it again.
And it loses sanity.
Every time what comes on the picture?
Every time the word Ashah occurs in the text,
again,
everything gets thrown out of whack in the mathematical structure of the mizmor.
Why?
Because whenever evil proliferates, insanity reigns. And the world goes nuts. And everything goes nuts. And all system and order of the world, all order is broken. Order is gone. Right? What do you call it? Law and order, right? Order. Order is gone. There is no order in the world. So I realized that every single time he says evil, the first time he says it, a letter is missing. It, right when he says it, the ramifications of it are so far reaching that there's only one verse in the letter. And the next one verse in the letter. You know what gets it back on track, Joe? Take a look.
Hashem.
That's right. God comes onto the scene, and then God brings back order. And it becomes 6, 6, 7, 7, 8, 8, 9, 9. You see the system? Back to the twos, back to normalcy, back to on track. You see the next evil? What happened when evil came on the picture? The yud is by itself. You see? Evil came up. Once you have the word that Ashah come up again, what happens? You only get a single guy. Now the chaf comes along. What makes it get back on track? What does it say?
Kuma.
Kuma Hashem. Every time he says Kuma Hashem, what happens? Alfred? I'll show them. You saw where it says it. I got to show them. See, evil came on the picture? You see, it's one verse? He says, Kuma Hashem. Things get back on track. Not only does it get back on track, it gets doubled. You see over here the letter? Why is it broken? Why is it broken? Because evil is going to come on the scene, an overwhelming amount of evil for the entire 90 words. Everything will go crazy over here. What's the first word? The Gavat Rashah. What will be the content of the 90 words? The analysis of the evil individual, how he functions, what he does, how he thinks, and how he perpetrates his evil in the world. It will be such a full discussion of evil that nothing will be normal in that time. What will get it back on track, Jack? No, look, read the words. What gets it back on track after he discusses evil and the evil person and how he thinks and what he does? What got it back on track over here? What got it back on track over here? Okay, so I just told you 6 hours of work. On track is that the norm would be two verses for each letter. There's a system. A, B, C, D. He goes like this. A, another verse. B, another verse. C, once you got to A, B, listen to me. A, a verse. Aleph, a verse. B, bet, a verse. Gimal, evil.
But the
Vav is right. Vav is four.
So tell me why he
has... Because Vav, I'll tell you the answer. Listen to me. Vav says like this. And God, and God, and God, and God. Listen to me. Jack, please look at me. Don't even look. Not only does it do that, it's 29 words. 29 words. And it says like this. God's the first word in it. He's the 15th word. And he's the last word. God totally encompasses the Vav. The Vav represents God on the scene. The Vav is the letter that's going to represent Vav in here. The Hashem this. Da 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 da. And then God is a protector and God takes care of us. He's Misgav Ladach. And the last word is Yutkevavke. In the Vav, the words Misgav Ladach are the center of the 130 words. It is the center. It is the focal point of the section. God is on the scene. So when God comes on the scene, what happens after the Vav? Zayin, a verse. Het, a verse. Tet, a verse. But what happens in the last word of that verse in the Tet? What does it say? Rasha. Boom! The world goes crazy again. What happens in the Yud? One verse. What happens in the Chaf?
Three.
Well, it starts off with
Kumash.
T. the attachment has the word
Kum Hashem.
Boom! Back on track. How back on track when the word Kum Hashem comes on the scene? And guess what that does? When you look at it, and you look at the end of this, every time God comes on the scene, all of the attachments equal the primaries, and all the words in the yellow equal all the words in the gray. All the when I say, I'm sorry, I didn't explain. There are primary verses and attached. Aleph is the primary, and Aleph has another verse attached to it. It's called the attachment. When you get to the end of the section where God is on the scene, all the primaries and all the attachments equal, all the amounts equal, and all the words in each equal. 88 words in one, 88 words in the other. Everything works perfect. You get to the end of it, you go to the next mizmor. Lemah. Lemah is smashed because you'll get Begabat Rasha and Rasha and Rasha, and the whole thing will be Rasha, and it will continue for 90 words. The answer is stop. I wanted to just see what it was like if I tried to do this in one shot. A lot of it's going over your head, but that's okay. You know what I was more interested in? That you get the gist of it in one fell swoop, more than that you understood every one of the details here. What's happening is that I told you he wants to catch your attention. It's his way of expressing to you the ramifications of evil.
Is evil, evil or stepping out of the covenant?
Evil. Well, evil is stepping out of the
covenant. Yeah, same thing.
How you look at it. Mm-hmm. It's the covenant is out of whack. Nothing in here has a break of 8 and 5, which I explained to you in other times, equals 13, and how it's symbolic. Everything in here, whether it's the words with the missing letters, with the words in the sections, with the words where the evil is, everything is 9s and 90s, the words in the verses, the words in the things. The patterns get back on track when God is back on the scene, when God has taken action. By the way, in the last one, just to let you know in your chart, it should have, you have the word, take a look at the sheen. Take a look at the letter sheen, it's very beautiful. You see where the word, the resh has one verse, ra'ita ki ata amal bakas, etc., etc. You got that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the next one says shibur zeroa rasha, right?
Right.
How come it has an attachment?
It starts with Hashem.
No.
No.
Read it. Shibur zeroa rasha. Break the arm, meaning the power of evil.
Okay.
Vara and evil. Tidrosh or you look for the evil. Bal Timsa, you don't find it anymore.
You look, what about Resh?
No, you didn't hear what I told you.
I did. I heard.
What happened? Bal Timsa.
Yeah. It's gone. Not there. It's gone.
It's gone.
What about Resh?
Once God has so eliminated it, so it's gone. So you look for the next one to be missing. It's not missing. It is there. Did you get it? Bal Timsa. It's literally the words are telling you. In other words. Jack, you ask, Jack, where is it, right? So he says, Tidrosh, you'll look. He knows you're looking at that juncture. Jack said, so where is it? So he says, Tidrosh, you look for the shor, for the ramifications of evil. Baltim say, you won't find it anymore. It becomes so clear, the letters of this mizmor, that just when you ask the word, you ask it at the right time, and it means Jack's totally right there. So he says, well, where is it? So the words are, where is it? And it says, you won't find it. So Jack looks to the next verse and he didn't find it. And of course, there's an instruction in there. That happens, by the way, what you just saw all over here. The text and how it does that happens again, before. It's all over the place. It tells you in the content. Remember, I didn't do content. I only did structure with you tonight, fast. But I wanted you to get the idea. I looked at it. I looked at the words in the verse. I looked at the content. I looked at Shigayon, I looked at the evil, I looked at the ramifications of evil, I looked at what he was saying, and sure enough, the acrostic works out that every single thing that happens is purposeful and part of a system that he wants to catch your attention. So what do you think?
Kufaresh.
Yeah.
Seem a little...
It's Kumeh. Right?
Yeah.
And then he says, Ra'ita ki ata amal bakas tabit. Right? So then, Shibur Zera Rasha, you only have a, you mean, why do you have a single in the resh? Is what that what you're asking?
Correct.
We'll go through all of them in detail. Before you ask questions, like, and you know this, right? Before you ask questions about knowing it, there's a whole bunch of things that you, I told you like 100 things in 2 seconds, you know? But you got the gist of it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
The gist of it was that evil on the scene breaks order, brings a disruption of order whenever, here's how I wrote it in the text, whenever evil rears its ugly head, the world goes nuts. You know, these words are a little difficult in our times. The way we're sitting right now, yeah, evil rearing
its ugly. Does this apply to other places where the Rasha comes and you see the systems?
Well, we did.
Well, we did. I wrote about this Mizmor's counterpart first. That's 37. I did it with you last year, the Ayin.
We did that.
Ve'od me'at al mikomo ve'enenu.
Don't give it away.
So yes, the answer is not only does it work here, it works in every time that there's a missing letter, that something is being pointed to, not always the same thing. In 25, the kof and the vav are missing. In 34, the vav is missing. In 145, the nun is missing. And now we've gotten them all down pat. I'm very proud, happy to tell you, very excited about this. So I'm very excited about it because you see, what we accomplished by this, even though we went till 10:30, what we accomplished is that we've taken Tehillim out of the realm of a bunch of text that's making all kinds of mistakes, or of a text that some guy had some nice ideas and hazit, you know, he made a mistake, or whatever you want to say, but rather it's so sophisticated that we like to believe here, we like to believe that it's prophetic, and that you don't do this so easily, and that the system is much, much, much more complex than anybody ever dreamt it was. Much, much, much more complex. In other words, a million times more complex. Everything I told you, there's much more going on in here than what I showed you. The structure, the way it works, every word in every verse, every statement in every verse, every section and how it ties into the next section. And then, of course, if we ever have time for this, I hope to do it, you'll see how beautiful the acrostic is, how the idea hits you very hard, and it illuminates, you know, it makes it sharp, the message, so that when you'll read it, it won't be a duh, you know, and what did I say? It won't. He wants it to make it that when you're reading it, you can relate to it. You can relate to it in a very deep area of your, you, the individual, in a very deep part of you, so that you can communicate with God on a very special level when you're reading it. Of course, the purpose of this isn't just to be cute. This is not cute. This is saying something very important about life. By the way, important words for mature people, and not for a kid. You can't tell anything we said tonight to it. This is only for mature adults. It's not easy. These are not easy words to take. These are not children's words. These are adults' words. People who care a lot about life and people and what's going on and what's happening and how the Navi looked at it and how he approached it and how he asked God to intervene on behalf of the world, behalf of the people, behalf of people who are right, and not allow it. And how he at the same time is very practical. And I said it was the babies who are going to be the future, and that he was confident the covenant was in effect, but at the same time praise to God. So that something like this, it's almost like, you know, when you take a meter and it's very sensitive and you put it on a piece of paper and it's doing like an electrocardiogram and it goes like this. It's something like when he's writing, I'm just using an analogy, it's like every facet of everything he's saying, this is very nice what I'm about to tell you, it's almost like everything that emanates from what he writes is reflecting such a deep, pure area of the soul of the individual who's putting it down in paper in prophetic way, that everything in it reflects the depth of his sincerity, his closeness to God, his confidence in God, and his awareness of the realities of the world, all at the same time. There's no fantasy in tonight, you know. You know, this isn't one of these speeches, the lectures, talks. We are sitting here working on this together. It impacts me like it impacts you. I'm just telling you what I found. It's a very insightful message. It's a very eye-opening message. And he wants to convey it to you so that you, when you pray, just like you always thought, read the words of Tehillim because they're good to read, because they're good prayer. Remember I told you in the beginning, when you'll finish learning all of this, you'll get back to square one and you go right back down to earth. Now let's read it. Yeah, but
Not really.
Not really. Now you read it as an adult. Now you don't read it as Aleph Bet, literally, Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, but rather you read it as a mature adult who can really sort of join together in praying for that thing that God will now listen to the prayer and say, oh, you're speaking on a very, very deep, sincere level, and I buy it. You're not sketching, you know. You're not just playing a game. And then the prayer has more impact, and then God listens more, and then you are more, you know, you're more sincere, the prayer is more real, and therefore the prayer is accepted in that manner. And that's the intention of the prophetic writing. So it's teaching you, it's opening you up, it's sensitizing you, it's giving you the insight into His feelings and into God's requirement, and to many, many aspects of what God wants, what He feels, all wrapped up into one. So you see all the needles moving, and that's what the benefit of looking at the text on a very close level is. You agree? By the way, you think I'm wrong? Remember I told you I challenged you to tell me wrong. You know, of course, there's no shot. This is irrefutable evidence once it's put down like this. It can't be.
It's prophetic, though. It'd be that He wrote it great.
Well, here's how I'll answer you on that. I leave it to you, the reader, to draw his own conclusions. But I personally find it very hard to believe that he's sort of just telling you something here that he invented from his mind. I'd like you to ask me that question after you've seen this Mizmor on a, rather than in a 45-minute shot like we just now did. When it took us 45, we're here for 2 hours, less than 2 hours, an hour and 45 minutes. It took us 45 minutes to 50 minutes just to get our brains into the mode, or for your work day, or for your life. It's very hard, and you know, and now you're tired and you're sleepy, and there's a lot of things going on, and then finally get you into the thing, and then finally we get a couple of minutes over there of real concentration. So you have to know. You know how long it took me to see this? You have any idea how many times I read this text? You know, like 1,000. You know how hard it was? I'm telling you, when I first looked at it, I said it's here somewhere, but you know, you don't see it. It's there, but you don't see it. You don't, till you realize that the words in the verse, and till you realize, oh, Rasha. And by the way, when it hit me like that. Once I saw Rasha, and I went like this. Oh my God, are you going to tell me that the next Rasha? And then I went, and it was. And then you're going to tell me it's the next one? And it went. Can you imagine how I felt when, you know, it was like uncovering the thing? It's like opening up, you know, when you're doing, what? You're opening up a thing in the ground. You know, when you go, one second. Is this, so I saw the first one, it says, it's a break. So I said, where's the next Rasha? And I go, oh man, there it is. Then I go, the next one. Boom, sure enough. Then I go, I knew. I got there, and it's going to be there, and it was there. And then I had already known the Kuma Hashems. See, every time he says Kuma Hashem, things get back on track. What gets it back on track? Kuma Hashem, arise, God. By the way, that's in 7, after the Selah. Kuma Hashem. Remember when he's being charged and he says, if I'm guilty, in 7, in the Shigayon, and then it says, Selah, right over there, you don't know, it says, Kuma Hashem. You know that Kuma Hashem to the end where it says, Zemen Hashem, Yudkevavke Elyon, to the end, from the Selah, all the way down? It's 90 words. Everything works. Once it works, by the way, once the formula works, you know, it's like a domino, you know, once the formula works, everything works, like when, you know, when you take a puzzle and you fiddle. Once it does, then all the other pieces to the, you know, when you're at the end of a puzzle, all the pieces just, you gotta, you know, when you just go in the end of those 1,000-word puzzles, what is it like at the very end? You know, all the pieces just go 1, 2, 3, you fish, you're warm, you know. Or you ever do a crossword puzzle and you get to the very end, what is it like filling it in? Well, it's just right there in front of your face. That's how this works. You go to 7, you'll see it works. You go to 8, you'll see. You go 9. And the content, of course, we didn't discuss, you know, the content is where the most, of course, excited. This is not the exciting part. The exciting part is seeing, which we'll do, each verse, what it says, what he says in each section, and what it means, and how much deeper the message becomes as a result of knowing this. In closing, you asked me a question. Who knew this? And they didn't know that. So my answer to you is that my teacher, Rabbi Sassoon, all the work I told you tonight is an extension of his teachings. This is, I always write at the top, you know, this work is an extension of Rabbi Sassoon's teachings and so on and so forth.
But the nine, does that have the same kind of symbolism or not? It's just in this...
Only here. Just here. You'll never find it again. So, I could tell you like this, that when we used to ask Rabbi Sassoon that question, he would say that the text has within it a depth of prophetic writing, and he says, don't be surprised, there's a depth beyond the one you're seeing and a depth beyond that, it's from God. And he would say something like, it's eternal, you know, and you're not reading a human being's writing, you don't know how far it'll go. So the answer, and so that's one. And then the other thing he would say is, there's a time for everything to come out. So if you're going to ask me that question, Solomon, I'd have to tell you like this. We always used to ask Rabbi Sassoon. See, Rabbi Sassoon never told me this. I just made an application of principles. Principles, but principles, that's where the real find. He just sort of, you know, gave it to me on a silver platter. I made application into healing. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited about this. It's thrilling. But the question we would always ask him is, well, how come no one ever saw what he told us? The principles, you know, the rules of the game, so to speak. And he said, everything has its time to come out. And he would go, thank God that we were blessed with that opportunity. So my answer to you is, thank God we were blessed with this knowledge, and that we hope that it will have the effect. If it's here and it wasn't here, let's hope it will have efficacy. You know, the better understanding of the prayer and the better communication and the more education of our people. We know that we're living in a time with a nation that has no people, are just, there's no leadership. We're sitting with people, the leaders are, it's very embarrassing to see what fundamentalism has taken over our religion. A lot of people are fundamentalists, sad to say, the way the other religion, you know, very bad. I don't even want to say it because it's on tape. But, you know, it's like other Muslim religions. It's like other religions. It's just embarrassing to see what it's become like. And they never look at it and they make jokes. Everything is, any intelligent individual who's taught these days laughs at what he hears from the teachers. It's all silly stuff. It's all baby stuff. It's all nothing. Your uncle will never learn like that, you guys. Your uncle will never accept those infantile type of approaches to things and will never talk to people that way. You don't talk to people like they're infants, you talk to people like they're adults, you know? So, some people ask me now, you mean you told Joey and Raquel and Jack, you know, and yeah, I don't think this is anything. I think that it's difficult to see that the Navi has to say that he knows it's in the baby's hands. I agree that that's a tough message, but I agree that it's an exciting message also, because look at his confidence. He knows that things are going to be good. He's so confident, you know? He's so confident. How bad it is, but how good it is at the same time.
I have a question.
At the bottom of everything, he's looking forward and he's excited.
He's talking to God, but it's God talking to you.